I appreciate so much being here with you tonight. I thank the elders for the opportunity to come here and teach from the Lord's Word. I am very excited about God's Word. I like to read it. I like to study it. I like to talk about it. I'd like to join you in welcoming the visitors here this evening. I'm going to be reading from God's Word. Try to come to a little better understanding of it, perhaps. And if you are visiting here and you hear something that you don't fully understand or maybe you don't exactly agree with and you want to talk about it, just ask one of the people sitting in the pews next to you to stay a little longer and explain it to you. As long as you're willing to use God's Word as the standard, I'm sure we can come to the correct understanding. What I would like to do this evening is to study a portion of God's Scripture that we don't give a lot of attention to. We don't reference it too often or study it. And that may be because of the way the secular community has kind of adopted this psalm. But it is contained in God's Word, and therefore it is worthy of our study, and it is of great importance to us. Scripture comes from the book of Psalms. And I believe it has a very faith-positive and uplifting message to us as Christians. And if you are here and you're not a Christian, perhaps it'll cause you to want to become a Christian even before this service is over tonight. And so I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, to Psalm number 23, chapter 23, which we commonly refer to, usually refer to as the 23rd Psalm. This psalm is probably among the very first scripture verses that you'll commit to memory as a child. That is, if you have parents that are interested in spiritual things and teach you those things. It is usually, if you are watching a TV program or watching a movie where they have a scene where people are gathered in church, they will usually be reciting or reading this psalm. And at a lot of funerals you'll go to, they will be reciting or reading the 23rd Psalm. And that is whether the people believed in God or not, they still use this psalm. I'd like to begin, if you would, just put your little Bible marker there in the 23rd Psalm, because we're going to primarily stay right there, or put your thumb there and mark it, however you mark your Bible. We start tonight, let's just read through the psalm, 6 verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, say that to yourself, forever. That's exactly what the psalmist means here, forever. And you need to think of that. Forever here on this, in this kingdom, on this earth, and forever in eternity. I'm going to read the psalm again. This time we're going to put the emphasis on the personal pronouns. And I'd like you just to make a mental picture, if you would. Every time the personal pronouns, I, me, my, or mine, are used. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 17 times the personal pronouns are used in the 23rd Psalm. And we need to try to think of this psalm in that way, as a personal psalm. That the Lord is yours. Claim Him. No one can take God away from us. There may be a day when some authorities can tell us we cannot come together and meet in assembly in this place. They may be able to do that. But they can never take God away from us. And that's the way God wants us to view Him. And so let's do it with a little bit of aggressiveness. Like the book of Hebrews says, Christ is our mediator. And because of that, He tells us how to come before His throne. He says to come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't need to timidly, shyly sneak up on God's throne. Try to understand that. And that's not to say that we come as some haughty, egotistical, boastful individual. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm saying is we just need to have confidence in our faith. God's given it to us. Let us have confidence in it. I'd like to read this psalm one more time, if I could. This time, let us note the imagery. And if some of you young people don't know what that means, that's simply writing in such a way or speaking in such a way that it causes the listener or the reader to paint a mental picture of the word you're saying, to convey your meaning by causing a mental picture. David is probably the one who wrote the psalm. And we know David was a shepherd before he was the king of Israel. And so he uses familiar images of a shepherd to describe his relationship with God. And so let's look at this psalm. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, picture that, the Lord as your good shepherd, meeting all your needs. You remember Psalm 37 says, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And Jesus uses the image of a shepherd. In John chapter 10, starting at verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And isn't it interesting to note that the Lord chooses the image of a shepherd leading his little sheep? I've been told that they need to drive cattle and they need to drive horses to get them to go where they want them to go. I don't know, but they say that generally the shepherd will lead the little sheep and they just kind of follow him right along the pathway. So if you picture those rocky paths over in Palestine with the little sheep following after the shepherd, that's the way our Lord is with us. He has given us His inspired Word. And it will lead us in our lives. But we've got to choose to follow Him. We each have to make that decision, that choice to be obedient and to follow Christ. God, our God, is not in the forcing business. Anyway, the Lord will provide for us. We don't have to beg God. We can ask Him. But remember, God knows what we have need of even before we ask Him. And you can find that in Matthew 6 at verse 8. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, picture that. Little sheep lying all contented in lush green pastures, grass and food all around are happy and contented. They have all their needs met. And we can have the same thing. Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known to God. In verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Continuing on, He leadeth me beside the still waters. What kind of waters? Still waters. I'm not a farmer, but they tell me that sheep are not very good swimmers. For them to get in the water with all that wool would be like us jumping in with all of our winter clothes on and trying to swim. And so, generally, they say the sheep are afraid of the water. And they won't even drink from running water. So the shepherds will sometimes stop up the stream with sticks and mud or whatever they can find to make a calm place for the little sheep to get a drink of water. And that's what our good shepherd does for us. He makes preparations for us. Remember John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He makes preparation for us. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. Now David remembered a time when that was very important to him. It was a low, low time in David's life. And remember this, very great men and very great women sometimes will do some very sorry things. David was called a man after God's own heart. And he was able to remain king of Israel, but he had been guilty of a lot of sin. But he restoreth my soul. David didn't know about the New Testament. He didn't know much about the Messiah, but he knew that God could restore his soul. Continuing on, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His own sake. Now, think of a shepherd leading his little sheep along those rocky hills on the paths in the land of Palestine. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. But this we know, that by this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Think about that. You know, as I said, God has caused His Word to be written down for us. He's caused it to be preserved down through time. No other book has been preserved that long. And He is able, my friends, to lead us in righteousness. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. One of the things that we need to learn to do in this life is to die. We need to learn to live while we're here. But we also need to learn to die. Remember Psalm 116, verse 5. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. In Revelation 14 at verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. If we follow the Lord's commandments, we can be prepared to die. For Thou art with me. Hebrews 13 at verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Rod was about 3 foot long, the staff about 8 foot long, had a crook on the end of it. Of course, they used the rod to drive away the wild animals that tried to bother the little sheep. And the staff, they could lift the little sheep. They would walk along those rocky hillsides and the little sheep fell over the side. As long as he was within 10 or 12 feet, the shepherd could hook him under the arms with that little hook on the end of his staff and pull him right back up on the path. I'm so glad that my shepherd has a staff. I'm glad he has a rod too, by the way. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God is always making preparation for us. I know without a doubt that somehow, somewhere, I'm going to eat tomorrow. Psalm 37, as we said at verse 26, I've been young, I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Think about this. Every day they're pumping gas and oil out of the ground. They're digging coal out of the ground so that we can have fuel to drive our cars and electricity to heat and light our homes. And God put that there. He put it there before we were born. Before mankind even knew he was going to need those things, God put them there in the earth for us. God makes preparation for us. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You see a picture of a little lamb there with a cup of oil being poured over his head, if it had a little cut in its head or to soothe it or maybe just to keep the insects off, medicinal purposes. David says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you feel that way, David? Oh, yes. How about your sins? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. But David, don't you know you're going to be punished for some of the... Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. You know, I may go through some rocky places while I'm on this earth, and God may have some punishment for me, some chastisement. And if I'm a child of God, I need to expect some of that sometime and may not understand it. May not understand it at all the time that it comes, any more than some pouting little kid understands when he's just had the back of his jeans dusted off. But I know that it's going to be for my own good, and I know that I'll come to appreciate it, whether I do at that moment or not. David finishes by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to tell you a story that I heard once about the 23rd Psalm. This happened a long time ago, before we had TV for entertainment. Yeah, there was a time when we didn't have those television sets. And people would get together in auditoriums and school buildings and such, and they would get the latest news there, and they would get entertainment there. Sometimes they would sing or write poetry or quote poetry. And there was one night when the people were gathered there that a young fellow that had been away to college, learning to be a great orator, stood up and he recited the 23rd Psalm. And when he was finished, that auditorium broke out into cheers and applause. And they asked him to do it again. And he did. And again. And each time he did that, the crowd jumped up and applauded and praised him for the way he had eloquently recited that psalm. And then, a little old guy, crippled up with age, bent over, made his way to the podium. And with a crackling, trembling voice, he recited the 23rd Psalm. And that auditorium was as quiet as a church service. Kind of embarrassed the young man. And he stood up and said, you know, I know the 23rd Psalm. But this gentleman knows the shepherd. These are some beautiful words. You can dwell in the house of the Lord. And as David said, how long? Forever. You can leave this building tonight with the confidence and the hope that David relayed in this psalm. And with the hope and the confidence that we all share here with the Lord as your shepherd. Don't go home with really no hope in the world. That's needless. It's useless. Such a waste. Won't you draw near to God tonight? Be sure that you spend this night in God's fold. Let your head be anointed with oil. Let your cup runneth over. I shall not want. Sleep this night on the pillow of hope. And have the assurance and the courage of conviction about that. And don't let anyone rob you of what belongs to you. The guidance of the Good Shepherd. You know, to receive that guidance, though, you have to draw close to the Lord. And you have to follow right after Him, just like the little sheep. You have to stay close. Don't let Him out of your sight. We can receive all the provisions that God has made for us. To make your way into that fold, though, there is something you have to do. You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn away from your past sins, and you need to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God. If you do that, if you make that confession, we can baptize you into Christ. Into God's fold. Baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. I want to tell you, that's heaven's offer. That's heaven's invitation. And I really don't know how anyone could leave without accepting that offer from God. If you have been baptized into Christ, maybe you've turned away into sin. Maybe you've committed a sin that would bring reproach to the Lord's church. You need to make a confession of that sin. You know, Jesus has said He will present the church as a glorious church without spot or blemish. And so if you are a spot or a blemish, you're not going to be part of that church. You need to take care of that right away. So whatever your need may be, if you want to be baptized into Christ, make a confession. We're here to hear your confession. We'll pray with you, pray for you. Whatever your need may be, if you'll stand up, make your way to the front as we stand and as we sing this song of invitation.